Hello, hello. This is Rebecca Schisler Marshall, and we also have with us.
This is Mara Way. Hello, everyone.
Hello, and we are here today to talk about intuition, our inaugural podcast, to talk about some very interesting topics. So we're going to talk about defining intuition and what we mean by intuition. And I know when I think about intuition, I think about that inner wisdom or that knowing that comes from a source that isn't my head, that isn't thinking, but is transmitted to me in a way that is really so hard to explain, but just from another source, an inner knowing or an inner wisdom. How about you, Mara? How would you define intuition?
Yeah, my experience is very similar in hearing you talk about it. I often talk about it to my son as inner knowing, as being in touch with his inner knower. So I think about that all the time, my inner knower. And I agree. For me, it's also more of it comes from the body more than anywhere else.
Right. I think there's a reason people use that phrase. It's a gut feeling I have, right? Because it is the body's knowledge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a feeling where, things click or something just feels right. Just in general, I think is what I tend to say.
I agree.
So maybe we could talk about how we, each of us, experiences intuition, because I think it's sort of unique and individualized, although there's probably some generality. So we both mentioned that we experience a sensation in the body. So how does that come to you, Rebecca? What shows up for you?
You know, I always describe it as a ping for me. Like, usually it's in my chest or sometimes in my solar plexus, but, around the heart or solar plexus. And if something is guiding me or leading me, I get this sensation that feels like somebody ringing a bell for me. And sometimes it can be very very helpful when I'm wondering, well, what should I do in this situation? Or should I go, should I take this next step? And to get that almost like a reverberation in the body. And sometimes I will get, also it feels like one word guidance for what to do next. Whereas if I think I'm in my head and I'm trying to figure it out, then it's a lengthy monologue of the voice in my head. But if it's intuition, if it's guidance, it feels more like one word, like, I'm walking out the door and it's lunch. I left my lunch in the refrigerator, and if I would have left, I wouldn't have had anything to eat. Just one simple word dropping in.
That's hilarious. It's similar for me, although it's kind of a different where I also get, I wouldn't call it a ping, but for me it's sort of like something clicks. There's some sort of feeling of something clicks. I don't know how else to explain it where, let me try to think of an example. So here's an example. The other day I was investigating something going on with my son, and someone said something, and all of a sudden I had this feeling of just, aha, that was felt by my whole body.
Wow.
Oftentimes it's a body experience that I don't know if I can always identify some particular place where I feel it. It could be like the whole body. And then I also sometimes have a word come to me. It could be a whisper. It could be just sound like it's, a little whisper in my ear. Or sometimes it's just more like no or yes or something like that, where something's yelling at me or nudging me to go on a certain way. I feel nudges a lot.
Nudges.
What else?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that it sometimes it does show up in like for me, almost if I look at something, it's almost like it pops out at me. Like a certain word will pop out on the page, or a picture, one will pop out more than another, and it's like I feel drawn to it. And that feels like there's something about this that I need to really pay attention to. And sometimes it's, you know, it's an answer to a question that I've been asking, or sometimes it's just, I need, okay, I'm gonna put this in the forefront of my awareness now, even though I don't know what it means exactly yet. So sometimes visually things will kind of pop out in that same way. It's not a body ping, but it's more like a visual, feels almost like, you know, a holograph or something that really comes out.
Yeah, I've had that experience. Like sometimes it comes in the form of a deja vu where I'll see someone or something and then all of a sudden, for some reason, that will pop out. There'll be something that I'm drawn to about that thing, and then I'll start to think that it reminds me of something, or I'm having a memory, or I'm wondering, like, why am I supposed to know about that? Why is that so resonant with me right now? And then it might not be in the moment, but it might be, you know, within the few days or something that it kind of comes together, like, oh, you know, that thing reminds me that I should be thinking about so-and-so.
Right.
Is that what happens for you?
Yeah, it's very similar like that. And you know, sometimes like you said, I just don't know, or I'll think about it, or it'll come back, like that image will come back to me again, you know, in a memory if there's something that I've seen, and at the time when I need it. You know, it's like I'm trying to think of an example of when that has happened. And I can't think of what the example that keeps coming to my mind is, actually I was asking for guidance about something, and it's slightly different, but I was asking for guidance, and I said, you know what, I just need a sign about something, and I don't know what it's going to be. And then into my head, this was one of those where the word popped in, octopus. And I was like, okay, I'll see an octopus. Like, what's the likelihood that that's going to happen? And then later that day, I'm reading a book with my son. And, you know, I think I had even forgotten that I had asked about this sign. And there's a huge purple octopus in this book that he had picked out for me to read to him. And it was like, okay, like there's my answer. And it just felt like that popped off of the page, like, pay attention to this. Remember, this is the sign you had been asking for. And it did feel very much like, you know, like a holograph.
Gosh, that is so cool. And you're reminding me of, I don't know if you remember this, but early on when you were coaching me about, there was a sign that we brought up in our coaching session, something that would support me in something. I can't remember what it was.
I remember
and
that.
It was a peacock. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember that vividly. And I don't know why that popped into my head. And it was the image just popped into my head. And I remember saying that to you.
Right. And then it turned out that I just so happened to have this peacock keychain. And then I had that peacock thing on my wall in my house. And just seeing those things, that synchronicity, the symbols, you know, had some kind of synchronicity with our coaching session that helped me to remember whatever it was in our session that we were working on.
Right.
So, yeah, sometimes it comes with signs and synchronicities, the symbols. What else did we talk about? The feelings in the body, the popping out feeling, the magnetic resonance, being drawn to something, the words that come. So, yeah.
There are lots of different ways that it seems like it's possible to show up, and it shows up differently for different people, has been my experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what now? What should we, you know, give some examples?
Yeah, I think giving some examples is a great idea, because I know that, you know, I'll say that there's been a time when I didn't know that I had intuition. I remember there was a point in my life I would say, gosh, I really wish I had good intuition. I really wish I knew how to tap into that. And what I realized was that it's there, and I just didn't know it was already there, like that it was accessible and available to me. And so, yeah, like that example of asking for, you know, what kind of a sign do I need, or what's, you know, just asking for guidance, asking for information, and being open to what pops into my head at that time when I ask that.
Yeah, I can so relate to the experience of not knowing. And it's a skill. Like, I think this is a skill that takes some patience and some careful tracking. And I think oftentimes it's hard to see when it's showing up. Oftentimes it's in retrospect where we can see where our intuition was guiding us. But I actually have a current example that I'd like to share that I think helps to illustrate this. So, you know that this past year I've had this experience of back pain. And it happened, I had this injury last winter, and I spent much of the first half of last year just trying to recover from it, stretching and doing yoga and then leaving it alone, and nothing seems to be working. And then, you know, at some point it started getting worse, and, you know, I felt like it was time for me to see a physician. And I was trying lots of different things, and people were giving me suggestions, lots of suggestions. Try this, try that. Did you try this yet? So, I mean, there was a zillion things I could have tried. And in the moment, it was only in the moment where I could just take one step in front of me to do what was the next thing that felt right. So it was along this way, you know, this journey where at some point I tried physical therapy, and then that didn't seem to work. And then it, when I stopped, I tried chiropractic, and that actually seemed to help. And then I tried massage, and that seemed to help. And then I realized, like, all of this experience was sort of steps in the process of this journey where I was using my intuition all along the way. And it was only in these moments that I was making these life choices. But I just have to share with you where I am now with this, because I found this through referral and through talking about it with people and having people's suggestions come up and me following my own inner leadings about what I should do. Yeah. I found this new kind of alternative physical therapist who's very specialized in this particular approach. And I am now really beginning to experience a lot of relief. And I never would have got to this point if I hadn't tried all of these other things. So it's always like that for me, you know, when it's something like this, like something that I'm working towards, it's always the stepwise thing that I can see in retrospect. What about for you?
That's a great example. You know, it's interesting that I have a couple of different examples that come to mind, and I know, you know, I've struggled with my kids' food allergies, and for a while we didn't know what the allergies were, or, you know, we were struggling to figure out we didn't even know that it was allergies for some time, especially with my oldest when we first found that out. And I remember him having this huge rash all over his body, and, you know, we had just finished snack time, and I think I might have just been walking away from me, and it was like one of those words dropping in my head, and it was almonds. And it was like I hadn't tried almonds with him, with taking it out, and it seemed like, you know, looking back, it was like, why didn't I try everything? But for some reason, I was only trying certain things, and that was one of his triggers, was almonds, and it was one of the first steps where we were like, oh, like maybe all of this is food allergies. Like, it's not the detergent, it's not the, you know, it's not who he is, it's that maybe all of the behaviors and the skin and the, you know, everything that this poor little guy was dealing with has a trigger. And we, you know, and that led, like you said, it led to like a series of, well, then I need somebody who can help me do a full food allergy testing. And we mm-hmm. were led to a really good person to do that. And that's just one example of, you know, how it sometimes it'll just drop in, and it's not like I was trying to figure it out or looking for it. It just came to me. And similarly, you know, I suffered with back pain many years ago from a car accident, and it was one of those things. I was reading something online and reading something about a person in the town I live in who is teaching cooking classes, and I didn't know why, but it was like, I've got to take these cooking classes from this person. And I called him up and he said, you know, it was another one of those synchronicity things. He said, you know, I've had two other people asking me about those classes again. I think I should start them up again. And he started it, and it was like an Indian cooking class, and I met this incredible woman who was a rolfer, and she ended up relieving all of my back pain from this car accident with rolfing. I'd never heard of rolfing before. And she ended up becoming a very good friend and really ultimately shifting a lot of my mindset and my lifestyle that was contributing to the injury that I had after my car accident. So it was, you know, it's again one of those things where sometimes you don't know the full ramifications until months and years mm-hmm. even later. Mm-hmm. And actually, through her, I met my husband, too. So it was like a big one.
Wow, that is kind of a big one. You're reminding him, your example about your son, that reminds me of another example I have with my son. So he has these sensory issues. Since he was about 18 months, he started, you know, having these horrible tantrums around that age where he was, you know, he would just kind of melt down, banging his head against the floor, and it was a little bit scary in his daycare. So we met with this incredible occupational therapist who worked in his daycare, and, you know, the first clue was just, well, you know, make sure he's getting enough protein. You know, maybe he needs to eat more often than what the usual kids eat in that daycare. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right, actually, yeah, I'm noticing that. I noticed that, too. So that was sort of the first step, and along the way, his sensory issues have sort of manifested in different ways. Lately, it's been distractibility, and it looks like he's not paying attention. And he's been sort of, we've been toying around with the idea that he might have ADHD, and he kind of falls along that spectrum. But just the other day, Rebecca, I was talking with someone who, the same occupational therapist, actually, this really intuitive mm-hmm. woman, thankfully. And she said, you know, Mara, I just have this feeling that there's something going on with his auditory processing. As soon as she said that word, auditory, my whole body like had pins and needles. So there was some kind of quickening. And I thought, that's what's going on. That's a big piece of what's going on. I don't know if it's the whole thing, but it made so much sense. And then I remembered that, yeah, when he was actually assessed for the sensory issues, that the auditory processing came up as like the first and foremost domain where he was having like hypo and hypersensitivity. So I forgot. I don't know why I forgot about that, but now it makes so much sense.
It all comes back together.
My gosh, it's so helpful. So now as he's about to enter kindergarten, I feel like I'm so armed in helping him, like a fierce mama bear, get what he needs. So with parenting, it really does show up and everything, but really I'm seeing it now with this situation. I'm so glad you just said that because it reminded me of that situation.
Yeah, isn't that, it's so interesting, isn't it, that we can use it in that daily, really, you know, every day what we're doing with our kids or at work, mm-hmm. or it's possible to really use our intuition at a very functional level of what we're doing mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis.
That's a perfect segue. So let's talk about how we use it. Like, how do you use it as your in your life as a guide? How do you use it as a tool? What's something that you do, Rebecca, or what comes naturally to you when you're using intuition?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that idea of checking in with the body, I think the body compass tool that we use is a perfect example of this for me. It really, it's hard for me to separate it out because, for me, I feel it in my body if, you know, I should be going a certain direction or not going a certain direction, and that can be as simple as like, maybe I shouldn't have that chocolate today. I mean, that doesn't feel quite right in my body when I think about it. And so just checking in with everything and using my body as that compass for whether or not I should go in that direction.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm constantly looking to my body. My body's a big indicator. It's like it's a barometer for how I'm doing, what I need to do, what I really need to do. Because sometimes I can't, my mind gets in the way. I'm too trapped in thought, or I'm too taskmastering through life, and I lose the sense of that. So checking in with my body is always really helpful.
Yes.
Another thing that I do is sometimes when I am stuck in thought, when I'm, busy and I'm not paying close enough attention to my body, I'll just stop. I'll get to a point where I just stop and ask. It's almost like channeling. I'll just sort of ask, like, well, what is it that I need? And I'll just wait for the answer to come. And oftentimes it comes fairly quickly. Sometimes I need to wait not that long, maybe a minute or two. But settling, getting into some kind of settling, sometimes with a few deep breaths or a very mini meditation, and then just asking, and then I get answers. Oftentimes it comes as a short statement, like, take care of yourself. And somehow I'll know what that means.
Yeah. You know, I love that asking, right? Because it does seem to me, I have a very similar practice of, just saying like, okay, like this is, for me, it's kind of along the lines of surrender of, I don't know. And you thinking in the greater you of the universe or God or spirit guides or whatever language works for you, that if I ask for someone else to guide me, give me that information, what do I need to know? What's the thing I need to know here? It does take me out of that thinking mind and into a place of faith and trust in receiving, so that I can receive the intuition instead of trying to grab or grasp or cling to something.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so much more of a receptive process, and doing kind of gets in the way. Striving and, kind of actively seeking out isn't what it is. It's more just waiting for it to be revealed. That's often how it feels to me. It's like a revelation, a process of revealing.
Yeah, and it is. It's the quiet, the stillness and the quiet being open to that is really been my experience of how to tap into it, more consistently is, the receiving doesn't happen when I'm doing.
I agree. I realize that I need some time, some quiet time in order for it to be noticed. Yeah,
right.
I absolutely agree. What else? Yeah. Is there anything else we need to say about this or that's coming up?
Well, and
go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, I was just thinking about, kind of validating. Like, I know there was a time when this is kind of a silly example, but I was in a department store, and I was trying to decide whether or not I should buy something for my son, and it was like, sometimes I can get stuck in those little decisions, and it was like, should I or shouldn't I? And my intuition was saying, buy it now because the one that you've ordered online isn't going to come through, even though I knew I had ordered it online. And I, in that moment, I kind of said to myself, okay, this is an experiment. Like, I'm hearing, like, this dropped-in information, and I'm choosing to ignore it, and I'm going to see what's going to happen about it. And sure enough, the item that I ordered, I got an email that said, you know, this is not, it's back-ordered, it's not coming in, you can't get it anymore. And it had been right there in my hands at the department store. And if I would have just picked it up and purchased it and listened to my intuition, you know, and so it was like, oh, well, that's good information. I didn't listen to my intuition, and now there's evidence that I actually do have pretty good intuition.
You know, you were bringing up such an important point that, you know, what is it like when we don't listen to our intuition? It's revealed to us. We feel that, too, sometimes as strongly or more strongly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of my back again, where at the very beginning, this is crazy, but it's probably not crazy to you, but at the very beginning when this happened, I just had a feeling that it really wasn't my back. It was more, it kind of felt like more around my hip, and I couldn't really identify where it was because it was hard for me to tell, but it was sort of hip-ish and lower back-ish. And then, you know, I was having this numbness and tingling down my leg, so then it was sort of, you know, it was sort of identified as being a back problem once I went to the doctor. But nothing they tried worked. Like, none of the typical therapies that they do for lower back disc injuries work. And so this lady that I'm seeing now, she said, you know, it makes perfect sense to me why that doesn't work, because it's more of a pelvic misalignment with you. It's more of a, if that's the root injury is not your disc. And I thought, I knew that from the very beginning. I should have listened. But it was just so... and again, it was just, it's fine how it all happened, you know, that it happened the way that it did, but it's just another, again, evidence that I need to listen to my intuition when it's there, and how easy it is sometimes to miss it when we're not noticing.
Right. It is, it can be easy to miss it and think it's, not recognize it for what it is, think it's something else, or think it's, you know, it's easy to brush it aside and say, oh, no, I know the doctors have said it's a back problem. Yeah. And, yeah, I think that's a fantastic example, such a great example.
Yeah. I know. It's really, I mean, it's really quite amazing. I love it.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really, that actually translates into some really good suggestions for people who are listening to just, you know, if there is something that feels like intuition, to pay attention, to note it, write it down, or really find a way where you can track, you know, like, well, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this, and I'm going to see how it turns out, or I'm not going to pay attention to this and see how it turns out. And that's kind of a nice way to gather some evidence for whether or not or how you listen to your own intuition.
Yeah, that's a great idea. One of the things that I've been doing lately is I've been tracking my feelings towards what I want to kind of come into being, and then I kind of note like where I am along the process. I actually have this journal where, you know, I might say that today this is what I did. You know, I took this one little step. This is what felt like the truth to me in that moment towards this thing that I want to be revealed. Or I might just track, like, leading when it arises. You know, today I felt led to reach out to this person and make this connection. And then so there's sort of significant things that I like to track when it comes to this. And then sometimes I look back to see the trail, you know. A year later I'll look back to see the trail and say, oh, okay, those are the things that led me to where I am right now.
What a great paper trail to have of, wow, this is how this has led to this moment right here today. That's really fantastic.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, Susan Hyatt, the coach, she does this thing where she asks people to plan their life, their next year backwards. So you kind of put out there what you'd like to do.
Yeah.
And then kind of identify, you know, how it will look from the end point, and then work backwards toward the beginning. And so you can kind of have benchmarks if you're working towards something and you're not sure how to move towards it, and you'd like to use your intuition and your inner knowing, you can kind of use those benchmarks as a way to feel what feels right as a next step in the moment that you're in.
I love that. I think I'm going to use that.
It's good. It's really good.
You know, and it also occurs to me, one of the tools that I've been using is also in a similar way. Mine's auditory. So I listen to, if there's something that I really want, like if there's an intention I want to have in my life, not a thing I want to manifest necessarily, but like, you know, I want to live my life in connection and collaboration, then I make a recording about that and I listen to that so that I keep that, you know, I keep that in the forefront of my mind. So when things do drop in around, oh, here's this group of people who said they are like-minded and they would like to meet up. It's like, there's connection and collaboration. I want to say yes to that because it's what I've been trying to bring into my life.
That is really cool. So it's cool that we have these different modalities that we draw on, these different domains.
Right.
Mine seems to be more visual and writing, and yours is more auditory.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different for everyone, as we've already talked about. So I like that idea. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And it helps to plant the seed of what you're looking for. So,
right.
You know, you say the words, you hear it back, and then as you're moving along in your life, you recognize it. You recognize what you're looking for, you know, in the sounds that come up. Is that what happens? You see evidence of it?
Yeah, I just see evidence for it. And it's like a reminder of like, oh, yeah, I set my intention like that. And here's this, you know, I also sometimes describe it as, here's life dropping in what I've asked for, or here's life dropping in hey, that's a good person to connect with, you know, if I see something. And if I remember that that's my intention, it's more about, I think sometimes I forget, well, what is it? What is it? What is my intention? You know, what if I, and I forget about that. If I write it in a journal, I close the journal and I set it away and it becomes forgotten to me but if I have an audio tape or digital recording, I guess, sorry. If I have an audio though, that I listen to over and over, it really does, you know, it's easy for me to do that while I'm doing something else, while I'm washing dishes or while I'm taking a walk, to listen to those different encouragements or intentions that I've set for myself.
That's so great. And I guess another thing that, you know, many people do is just bring it into prayer or meditation. You know, just as a natural, you know, send the intention out there. Put it out there, and then just wait for evidence of it, whatever it is that you want to manifest, to show up, as you say, or to drop in. I like that.
Yeah.
Drop in.
Because that's what it feels like to me, like somebody just drops it into my lap or my open hands, right? So.
Oh, look at that. Here it is.
Here it is. I didn't do it, but thank you, thank you, thank you.
So what should we do from here for our listeners?
Well, I think that what we have now is that anybody who's listening to this podcast, that if you've subscribed, that you'll receive an invitation to our closed Facebook page, which is called Truth Spot. And there you can post, maybe people can post their ideas of how they see intuition, or if they have questions about intuition, or, you know, just maybe start a discussion about what intuition means to them.
Yeah, I would love to hear from people. I would love to hear what shows up in people, how they experience it, how it manifests for them. I'm really curious. This is like my favorite thing to talk about in the world.
I know, and it's definitely one of my favorite things as well. It's like, I think it's a gold mine for how it can influence my life. I think that I've been amazed that once I started really tapping into intuition, the kind of the ripple effects that it has.
Mm-hmm.
So, so and also people can then follow up with us. We each have our own webpage. Again, this is Rebecca, and my webpage is centeredyou.com. And Mara has her webpage as well, Maraway.com, MaraWai.com. And there you got, anyone can sign up to receive updates on our upcoming podcast. This is our inaugural podcast, and we'll be creating more in the future about relevant items and topics.
And we're excited. This is the Truth Spot with Mara and Rebecca, and I look forward to building this community with you, Rebecca, and hearing from all of you out there about your truth.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.